I'm going during worship. I've just been going through a lot of emotions because I feel like it's going full circle for me. I remember back in 2022 when we did the Brown County Revival for 3 weeks, and I preached my first message in Georgetown. And I didn't have this in my notes, but the Lord told me to do this during worship, so I'm just going to be obedient. So during that time, the Lord showed me a vision, a dream, I should say, a memory of me helping set up a tent revival with my grandpa. And I've said this story many times to our church family, but if you're not part of our church family, you don't know this. But the Lord showed me, he let me keep hearing a sound. It was like a bell, but it was like a hammer hitting a stake post. Like a stake post over and over and over and over. And when we was out here setting this whole tent up, that's what we did. We used a sledge on each one of these tent posts all the way around. And every time we were doing that, we were driving a stake into the enemy's head. Every single one. I could hear it. It was the sound of freedom, the sound of liberty, over and over and over. And I released that word that following Sunday in our church. And one of our ministry team members, Bridget, she bought this bell, this liberty bell, this freedom bell that's over here in this corner. And she said, when I gave that word, when I said the sound of freedom, the sound of liberty, over and over and over, she heard this sound and she went online and she found that sound and found a bell over here that sounded like the sound that she was hearing. So during my sermon tonight, the Lord's told me that people are going to get set free while I preach this message because this is a gospel message. This is a gospel message. Do you guys want to hear just a gospel message? And this is not a fresh revelation that the Lord's given Matt. This is just strict gospel. Purely gospel. Purely gospel. So while I'm preaching this message, if you're feeling the unction from the Spirit and you're feeling set free from any kind of stronghold, any kind of sin, any kind of bondage or healing in your body, I just give you permission to come up here and ring this bell. Just come up here and ring this bell. And even after the sermon's over, come up here and ring this bell. Because we need the enemy to hear what the Lord is doing with the sounds of liberty. With the sounds of liberty. I just want to add that on there. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I'm a Bible man, a physical Bible. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you have your digital Bible, turn to 1 John. The Lord saved you guys from me reading all of 1 John. I was going to read all of 1 John because I feel like that's just gospel. I don't know if you know, I've ever read 1 John or studied into it, but it is strictly gospel. So that's your homework for tonight. The Lord said we don't got time for me to read the whole chapter, the whole book. So we're just going to strictly stick on the first chapter, John chapter 1. So, I don't think it was an accident what the Lord's been speaking during this revival, during this crusade. He's been repeating it over and over the last couple weeks. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jonathan gave us a sobering word about sin in the camp. If you missed that, check it out. Go on our website. Go check it out. Go to mountorbcrusade.com and check it out. But because you can't, about secret word about sin in the camp, so because you can't expect victory when there's compromise in the camp, and Achan hid what was cursed, and it cost the whole people, all of Israel. And I believe the Lord is, what he's saying with this is it's time to clean house. It's time to clean house. It's time to talk about the things that nobody wants to talk about anymore. So last week, Pastor Aaron brought the fire with becoming a crusader in Christ, a fighter and free, a freedom fighter in the kingdom. not a passive Christian, not a consumer, but a warrior. And the Lord made it clear you can't fight for freedom if you're still chained to sin. So if you missed this last couple weeks, this is just me summarizing it. And the Lord keeps highlighting it over and over again. And when the Lord keeps highlighting something over and over, you better pay attention to it. You better pay attention to it. So I'm not surprised, because it is revival season. It's what we're doing. We're in revival. This is revival. It's a crusade over Mount Horeb, but it is a revival. So we're not in comfort right now. We're in the tent. We're outside. It's hot. It's hot. We're uncomfortable. We're in the heat. We're not in a comfortable building. We're in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness. And that's where revival always starts. It always starts in the wilderness. So just like John the Baptist, all of our people are like, of course Matt's going to talk about John the Baptist. Yes, just like John the Baptist, he didn't show up in robes. He wasn't sipping wine with the Pharisees or with the royalty, with the elite. He came out of the wilderness with camel hair on his back and fire in his mouth. And what did he say? What did he say out in the wilderness? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And I believe that's the same cry going out from heaven tonight and during this crusade. Repent, turn, get clean, come out of the shadows. The king is near. The king is near. And this is personal for me, because, like I said, many of you know, this is the call of my life, the Elijah anointing, the call to cry out, to tear down idols, to confront sin, to call the people back to the Lord. And I haven't always wanted it, but I can't ignore it. I can't ignore it. The Lord won't let it go. It happens over and over. Every time I go to preach, it comes out. In some way, it comes out. So because the Spirit is shouting inside of my soul, inside of my mind right now, he's not whispering. He says, make straight the way for the Lord. He is coming. Repent of your sins. And I come tonight with fire in my bones, just like Jeremiah, with a warning. With a warning. So if you're looking for soft religion, this isn't it. This is not a soft religion message. But if you're looking for the real thing, the real deal, the holy thing, the purifying presence of God, then welcome, welcome to the wilderness. Welcome to the wilderness. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, and I just want to pray. So tonight, Lord, this is an invitation, and help me, Lord, to give this invitation from your Spirit, to see you rightly, to live rightly, and to love rightly. So as we open this word, this holy word, let's posture our hearts and ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? To me. What are you saying to us as a body, as a church body, not just Free People Church, the ecclesia, the whole church body? What are you saying to us in this season? So let's read 1 John. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, the life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which this was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make out make our joy complete. Our joy complete. This is the message, verse 5. We have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. This is a warning from John, the beloved. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. So this is John the Beloved writing this letter. The one who leaned on Jesus' table, or leaned on Jesus' chest at the table at the Last Supper. He heard the heartbeat of God. The one who stayed when the others ran, the one who stood next to Mary and watched blood drip from the feet of Jesus. This John the Beloved, John the Undying. Some people think he's still alive. Amen. Never does say where he dies. Jesus did say that if you will live until I come again, what does it matter to you, Peter? But this is John, the apostle, the one who was with Jesus. He's writing this letter to a church, to a body that is left from deception. His heart is breaking. The church he helped build is now under attack, not from the outside, but from the inside. False teachers, spiritual actors, performers with smooth words and seductive doctrine. And they didn't sneak in. They rose up from among them. Fake ones with charisma who twist the truth just enough to make deception feel like revelation. And John's not just warning them because he heard about Jesus from someone else. He walked with him. He heard his voice. He touched his scars. He felt his heartbeat. So just imagine this for a minute. We read all through the New Testament. I read through the Bible from cover to cover in under 4 months earlier this year before this revival. I felt the Lord was wanting me to come. And when I was reading the New Testament, after you get out of the Gospels and you got your Pentecost, you're like, yes, we got the Holy Spirit. We have the Messiah has come. We're bound for heaven. Lord Jesus, come. And what do we get half of the New Testament is bless it, Lord. You want to know if you're walking in the light? Do you want to know if you're walking in the light? Check your fellowship. Check your fellowship. Because light doesn't hide. It does not hide. It shines bright. It shines bright like a diamond. Diamond, diamond, diamond. We don't hide it under a bushel, no. Right? Shines bright. So light doesn't isolate. Light doesn't fake connection at church and harbor resentment at home. If there's something between us, there's something wrong. If there's sin in the way, there's fellowship that is broken. It's just like marriage. You can live in the same house, sleep in the same bed, smile in public, and still be disconnected. Why? Because something's in the way. Unspoken frustration, a wound never addressed, pride, silence, distance. And until there's confession, until there's humility, until there's honest repentance, there is no fellowship. That's what it's like in a marriage. That's what it's like with the Lord. That's what it's like with one another. It's vertical to horizontal. Doesn't work. That's how it works with the Lord and the body of Christ too. You can be in the same church, sing the same songs, raise your hand and worship together, and still walk in darkness if you've cut yourself off from true connection. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this part. I did not want this in my sermon, and the Lord made me. Bless it, Lord. So James takes it to a whole nother level. James takes it to a whole nother level. And I'll be honest, like I said, this makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't like it. I just want to be like my 2-year-old son, Finn. I don't like it. No. No. I don't like it. I'm a man. I can do it on my own. I can't. But it's necessary. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That's not just about physical healing. That's relational, emotional, spiritual. Healing comes through honesty and humility. Oh, and I've seen it firsthand. We've sat with people in prayer sessions. So many people bound up for years of guilt, shame, addiction, trauma, and watch the chains break the moment they confess it. The moment they confess it. When someone finally says, look at it. This is what I've been carrying in the dark. This sin, it's disgusting. It's heavy. I don't want it anymore. Look at it. It's not who I am. I can't keep this anymore. And I need help giving this to God. That's when the light rushes in. That's when the blood of Jesus cleanses. That's when true freedom starts, because the enemy thrives in secrecy. But the Spirit only moves in the light. He does not move in the darkness, because whatever darkness he comes up against, guess what? It's light. It's light. So I need to say this clearly, because for too long the church has treated salvation like it's just a moment. But salvation is a lifestyle. It's not just a prayer you prayed once at the altar. It's a way you live daily under the lordship of Jesus. And that lifestyle, it implies something. What does it imply? Like we said earlier, fellowship. Fellowship. Say it, church. Fellowship. So when we need fellowship with God, we need to respond in three ways. Three ways. Number one, repentance. We said at the beginning, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. It starts with repentance. I grieve over what I did that broke the heart of God. I name it. I own it. I turn from it. Number two, healing. I ask the Holy Spirit to go to the root where my sin wounded my body, my mind, my emotions, and he restores. But there's a number three that the church does not like. Number three is deliverance. I recognize that my compromise opened a door, and I shut it. I'm having revelation up here that my grandpa's saying, shut the door. I didn't even get that till now. The Lord's like, your grandpa was actually giving you amazing advice that you would never forget. You gotta shut that door. You gotta shut it. You say, I take authority in the name of Jesus and cast out anything unclean that is attached to myself through my disobedience, through this sin. You shut the door. The AC's on in here. We like it in the AC. So that's what it means to be saved. Not just saved from something like hell, but saved into something. Saved into freedom, into healing, into holiness, into fellowship. Fellowship. So real ones, they walk in unity. They confess. They forgive. They press in. They confront in love and cover in prayer. This is the full gospel. This is the full gospel. Repentance, healing, deliverance as the foundation stones of every day. Because salvation doesn't end at the cross. It begins there. And as you walk, as you walk from the cross, where do you go? You walk to the throne. I go running to the throne room of heaven. Fake ones, they stir division and wear masks. They're always offended, always suspicious, always building walls and spiritualizing their wounds. If you're walking in the light, you won't walk alone. I'm telling you, church, if you walk in the light, you won't walk alone. You'll walk clean. You'll walk close. You'll walk in covenant with God and with your brothers and sisters. Because light doesn't just reconcile you to God. It reconciles you to his people, the real ones, the real ones. But here's where the enemy gets sneaky. He gets sneaky. He'll try to keep you from fellowship. Say it again, church. Fellowship. Fellowship. It's so important. By keeping you in the shame. What are they going to think about me? What are they going to think? I just renounce the spirit of man right now. I say it, go in Jesus' name right now. The Lord, Lord, I just feel like the Lord's just saying, go into that. All right, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we just bring this, this lie of the enemy, of fear of man, that I got to worry about what others think of me, what are they going to say. We just renounce that. We just pray and bring the full work of the cross against this deception right now over your church body, over your sons and daughters, that it doesn't matter what people say about you. It's only what God says about you. We just bring that full work right now, and we just renounce that, and we just send that back to hell where it belongs right now in the name of Jesus. All right. So the enemy, he'll convince you to hide what Jesus already died to forgive. And that's why John says it in verse 8 and 9. We're still on 1 John, people. If we claim, he says it in 8 and 9, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive. Salvation is grace. But grace demands truth. Grace demands truth. And the truth is, you will sin. You will sin. But hiding it will kill you. Hiding it will kill you. Confession isn't weakness. It's how we war against the enemy. It's how we take back ground. You don't need a better mask. You need a clean heart. You need a clean heart because Jesus didn't come for the sinless. He came for the surrendered. So John ends the chapter with this. Not a call to perfection, but to confession. For what, church? For fellowship. Not a call to appearance, but to be authentic with one another, to be authentic with him, to be real. He says if we confess, he is faithful. If we hide, we're lying. And that's where it gets real, because not everybody's walking in the light. Some are pretending, some are hiding, some are faking it in the church while walking in the darkness all week. It's like, Matt, you're harping on that, because it's truth. And John doesn't hold back, because this isn't just about having a bad week or slipping up. Don't get my words twisted. This is about walking in darkness as a lifestyle while claiming it in Jesus' name. That's what this means. And family, let me say it plainly. That path doesn't just lead to broken fellowship. Oh, it leads to eternal judgment. It leads to eternal judgment, because there's more than one way to walk toward hell. You can run there in rebellion, or you can sleepwalk there in religion. But hell is still the destination. If you never confess your sins, and if you never surrender, hell is real. It is real. And Jesus still saves. Hell is not reserved only for the blatant rebellious, the atheist, the murderer, the scoffer. According to John, it's for all who continue to walk in darkness while claiming to walk in the light. It's for every professing believer who refuses to confess, refuses to repent, and chooses appearances over purity. Verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. To walk in darkness isn't just sin. Oh, it's to persist in sin while pretending you're fine. It's fine. It's manageable. Real ones don't flirt with judgment. They run to the cross. And this is what Jesus said about hell in the scriptures. He said they run to the cross. Matthew 5 says, Jesus says, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Better to lose it than be thrown into hell. This is Jesus' words. Matthew 10, fear not man, but fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Is God chill? No. Matthew 13, he will send angels to separate the wicked and throw them into the blazing furnace. Matthew 18, better to enter life crippled to be whole and cast into eternal fire. Matthew 23, woe to the hypocrites. That's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, the one who think they have it all figured out, have this revelation of who God is. Twice the sons of hell. Oh, Lord, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Mark 9, hell is where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Luke 12, be afraid of the one who has authority to throw you into hell. Luke 16, the rich man is in torment, crying over a single drop of water, separated by a chasm that cannot be crossed. Revelation 20, the lake of fire, the second death, and anyone not found in the Lamb's book of life was thrown in. These are not scare tactics. I am not saying this to scare you. They're rescue calls. The Lord is calling out, because hell is real, but mercy is here. Hell is real, but mercy is here. So choose. Will you be real or will you stay fake? Will you confess or continue in darkness? Will you walk in the light or just keep playing games in those shadows, in that darkness? This is the urgency of 1 John. And this is the mercy of Jesus. You don't have to go to hell, but you do have to surrender. And listen, this isn't about perfection. Like I said earlier, do not get me twisted. Do not get my words twisted up. This isn't about fear that paralyzes you, but it's about the fear of the Lord. The holy reverence that wakes you up, that refuses to treat the blood of Jesus like a joke. Because true fear of the Lord doesn't drive you away. It drives you closer. It drives you near. It drives you in fellowship. It's not about being scared of God. It's about being undone by His majesty. It's not about shame. It's about awe. It's the kind of awe that causes the angels to tremble and the demons to flee. Causes the angels to cry, "Holy, holy, holy," for all of eternity. And John doesn't leave us crushed under this judgment. Like I said earlier, the whole book of 1 John. This is your homework. Go home and read it. We don't have time tonight to go through it all. So he doesn't leave us just in judgment. He keeps going, because the same John who says God is light, he later declares God is love. God is love. Not soft love, not weak love, but fierce, holy, jealous love that rescues us from wrath and calls us into righteousness. So don't confuse conviction with condemnation. The Spirit is not trying to scare you. The Spirit is not trying to scare you. He's trying to save you. And the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the doorway to intimacy. That's what keeps us real. It's what keeps us in fellowship. So will you stay fake? Or will you fear God? Fall at His feet and finally get free. Yes, Jesus. So we have another song of worship. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Praise God. Can we just celebrate right now for that freedom? Thank you, Jesus, for liberty. Thank you for the sound of freedom. Thank you, Lord. So I just want to say, I take this so seriously. I take this so seriously. I take my calling so seriously. People sometimes say, "Matt, you're so intense. You're so intense. Why don't you laugh more? Why don't it look like you're having fun?" And don't get me wrong, church is a celebration. It is, 100%. But when you have a burden for the lost, when you have a burden for the fake ones who are just walking in religion straight into hell, the Lord will break you. He's broken me for the lost. So I do take this very seriously. This is not a game. This is not a game. It is real. It is between heaven or hell. And you have a decision to make. Oh, Lord. We all think the unsaved are in trouble. Help me, Lord. You know who's in more danger? Those who think they're saved because they're just playing church. That's who's in danger. Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for your sins on a cross, and rose from the dead, and ascended again, and He's coming back. Jesus is coming back again. And are you ready? Are you ready? How long will you play around? How long will you flirt with sin and call it freedom? How long will you hide behind grace while living in rebellion? How long will you come into these services, feel conviction in your heart, and run out of here and come back and do it all over again? A vicious cycle. The Lord sees you. He sees you in the dark. He sees what you justify. He sees what you excuse. And He's calling you out of it today, church. He's calling each and one of you out of it. And if each one of you say, I'm good, I don't got no sin, John said, you're a liar. Each one of us have sin in our heart. We are born with this carnal nature inside of us to sin. Every day is a death to self. I gotta die so the Lord can live through me. When you see the sin, I just pray right now, Lord, that you just touch every heart, that you just prick every heart in here, and you bring to mind what they're hiding in the dark. The darkness that nobody else knows about. I just pray right now, Lord, that you bring that forth. Because you're calling them out of it. You're calling them out. The Lord is calling you out. It's time to deal with your sin. Stop coddling it. Stop managing it. You see it. Acknowledge it. Now kill it. Keep killing it. Run from sin. Run from the darkness. Run into the light. Throw yourself at the foot of the cross and cry out, Lord, save me. Forgive me. I repent. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Because this is Christ calling his bride to humility. This is Christ calling us to holiness. Oh, not fake, not shallow, not fake religion, but the kind that purifies, the kind that costs, the kind that cleanses. I just want to invite the ministry team up. And this freedom bell is up here. So as they come up, let me sum this up. 1 John 1. You're either a real one or a fake one. You're either walking in the light or you're hiding in the dark. You're either surrendered or you're pretending. And Jesus isn't playing games. He's coming back with fire in his eyes to purify this earth of all darkness, of all sin. Oh, he's coming back for the real ones, not for those who played church, but for those who walked in the light. For those who confessed, who repented, who laid down pride and picked up the cross. For those who said, I'm done living fake. I want to be real. I want to walk in the light. I can't take it anymore. I can't take this darkness. And I want to say this again. It's like Aaron said last week to the men. To the men who came up here and made a decision to be a crusader for Christ, to be a freedom fighter for your family, for your workplace, for the fellowship with the Lord and with your church family, with His holy people. You said last week, I'm done playing games. I'm ready to fight for freedom. And that wasn't just for a moment. That was a mantle. You don't drop it because the week got busy. You carry it. You lead with it.
You carry that mantle of Elijah that returns the hearts of the sons and daughters to the hearts of the Father. That's what you're carrying. You say, I want to be a crusader for Christ. I want to be a freedom fighter. And if you didn't come last week, or if you wasn't here last week, this is your time. If you were stuck in your seat last week, it's time. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. If you've been stuck in the darkness, the Lord is calling you. He's calling you now. Oh. So if the Holy Spirit is moving on you, just like our sister came up and claimed her freedom, don't wait. Come forward. Confess. Repent. Be made clean. This is the moment to step out of the shadow.